welcome, my welcome to you this morning. Today we're going to be looking at a jigsaw puzzle. Who likes completion? Who likes success? Who likes things to be completed and a fixer? I'm a bit of a fixer myself. In fact, I'll confess one thing to you. I used to hide the last piece of the puzzle, so I'd be the one to put it in at the end. That's a confession. That's not a good thing to do. But maybe you're like that too. Maybe you like to just put things together. And the key to doing a good jigsaw puzzle is to know what the picture is on the top of the box. So we know what we're heading for, what we're aiming for. And the lid of the box this morning that we're going to be making of our jigsaw puzzle is of a wedding feast. Jesus, our bridegroom, and the church, us, as households of prayer, us to be the bride in preparation for a wedding feast at the end of time. That's what's on the top of the box this morning. And we're going to look at the pieces that are missing, who's missing, what's missing, and how God wants to shape us and to complete this puzzle through our lives and as we meet together. I'm praying, I'm sure you are as well, that the Lord will speak to us personally as well as a group. So I would encourage you to, many of you will have a phone. If you have a phone, I encourage you now actually to use it in the sense of open up your phone and just do a blank email or, you know, WhatsApp yourself, just so you've got a place to write a note to yourself. If you don't have a phone or you don't know how to do that, write a note to yourself. There are a few bits of paper and pens. So if you need a piece of paper and pen because you don't have a phone, then just indicate. Anto's already prayed, but let me just pray again as we begin. Yeah, Father, I thank you that you have a message for all of us. And I thank you that we've just sung how much we're cherished by you, that we're your children, and that we're no longer slaves to fear. And I thank you, Father, that you want to say more and more things to us today. We want to be attentive to your voice. We want to write down what you're saying to us. And Father, we want to put it into action through the rest of our lives. We ask for your enabling Holy Spirit that you'd be hovering over us and speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text today, we're still on our series of the Sounds of Summer. And the Bible passage this morning is from Psalms 144, in particular verse 9 and 10. That's our text. And this is a royal psalm. Yeah, I'll put it up here. So if you're using your phone to write a message, you've still got the text in front of you. And there are Bibles available. I should have said that. There's Bibles available as well as pieces of paper. Yeah, so this Psalm 144 is actually a royal psalm. It's a messianic psalm because it's talking about the life of King David. It's written by King David. It's talking about the life of King David. And King David is a very small foretaste of what life's going to look like when King Jesus is here and is establishing his kingdom and is Lord over all space and time. And Jesus used many of the Psalms with his disciples to illustrate his life and what he's come to bring as he was here on earth. He referred to the Psalms in his life. So if the Psalms were referred to by Jesus, of course, they're very good for us to learn from as well. So let's read Psalm 144. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. O Lord, what is man that you should care for him? The son of man that you should think of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a fleeting shadow. Part the heavens, O Lord, come down, touch the mountains so they smoke. Send forth lightning, scatter the enemies, shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me, the mighty waters, the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies and whose right hands are deceitful. I will sing a new song to you, O Lord, O God. On the 10-string lyre, I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David from the deadly sword. Deliver me, rescue me from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies and whose right hands are deceitful. Then our sons in their youth will be well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every good provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by 10,000s in our fields. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There'll be no more breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of stress in our streets. Blessed are the people of whom this is true. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Something strange happened to me this week. I was actually intentionally taking time to be with God. I took what's called a retreat. So I was on my own for a week, and my husband's away, Stuart's away. So I took that time to seek God and to be intentional. And it was a wonderful time, very good weather. It was wonderful. On Thursday, bearing in mind that I'd be speaking here this morning, I'd already prepared the talk for this morning before I went away, so it wouldn't be a distraction. So on Thursday, the day before I left, I said to the Lord, during a time of worship, I was praising and worshiping God in my room. And I said, is there anything else that I've missed? Is there anything else that you want to say to those gathered and those listening online this morning? And to my surprise and my joy, God just gave me a few words, a few things to share. So actually, what's happening this morning is a bit of a rewrite in the light of what God said to me on Thursday morning, to bring this this word for us today, for this particular time. And I'm going to read it to you now. This is partly why I asked you to have a piece of paper or to write a note to yourself, because I'm going to unpack it as we spend time this morning together. But if there's a particular word or something that jumps out to you, if your memory's like mine, you might forget it by the time we get to the end. It's a page long, so you may forget by the time we get to the end. So just jot that down as God speaks to us. You are loved. You are called to be holy, different from those around you. I was going to get my propped. I forgot that bit. Okay. I'm going to start again. I forgot my little prompt here. I actually saw two symbols being clashed together, but this will have to do. You are loved. You are called to be holy, different from those around you. You had warning. Make a noise. Wake up. I want to hear your voices. Cry out to me. Don't hold back. Pour out what's really inside you and be real with me. Be honest with me. I want to hear your voice. I want to comfort you who are hurting. I want to touch those of you who need healing. I want to be real with you as you're real with me. Don't hide any longer. Come out into the light. Don't stay hidden. Come into my presence. Walk in my power and my authority I've given you. Don't hold back. Step into your true identity and soar to new heights and new perspectives of my ways and my world. Now is the time to speak. Find your voice. Cry out, shout out to a watching world of who I am. Fall in love with me again. Fill your hearts with thanksgiving and gladness. I am the real joy giver. In quietness and rest is your strength, and you will find true understanding and peace. Rest on my shoulder, lead into what I want to say and what I want you to hear. Let's just pause for a second. So the hymn, this song, and this time of new songs, this summertime, Kadesh is the word in Hebrew for new. And I believe that God wants us to hear something new, something that's fresh. It's not something brand new. It's from God's word that he's been given us to feed off and to learn from. But he wants to highlight something new, something that needs to be repaired or refreshed. So I've just put up the structure of how the psalm goes, and we'll see how that really echoes what I've just read out to us. So God is saying that we're loved. You are called to be holy, different from those around you. And the jigsaw in our lives and the picture of how the world should look like starts from knowing we are loved. It's a basic human need. If we don't know we're loved, we are insecure, and that's where the problems begin. God loves us. He loves each one of you in this room. He loves each one who's listening online. He loves us. He made us in our mother's womb. We're completely known by him. There's nothing that's hidden that he doesn't know about. And he's calling us to live a holy life, to be different. We're not called to be like the neighbours around us, of our culture. We're called to be different. That's why we meet together, to encourage one another to be different. Our identity doesn't come from social media. I'll look at this group because you're all social media people. Our identity doesn't come from social media. I know you know that, but live it out. And identity doesn't come from what we do, what we have, or what people think about us. Everybody around us is what I do, what I've got, and what you think about me is where people are getting their identity from. That is not where we should get our true identity from. There was a clashing cymbal because God is shouting to us to wake up. He's shouting us to us and to our nation to wake up. He wants us to stand the ground and be different from the culture around us and to speak up and to really get serious. And I work internationally. I know that God is on the move across our world. He's shaking things. He is waking up the church of God, his bride, to get ready for that wedding feast on top of our jigsaw puzzle. He's preparing his bride to be ready. It's not business as usual. We should be expectant of the sudden things like that crash, of people coming into this building, coming into our lives, our workplaces, people in our family that have maybe not been interested for years. We should be expectant of change, expectant of new things that God wants to do amongst us. Having expectation and desperation is part of who we are when we come closer to God. It's God looks at our hearts and our desire for more. And if we are sleepy, we're not going to be expectant and wanting more. I want to hear your voices cry out to me. Don't hold back. Pour out what's really inside you. Be real with me. Be honest with me. I want to hear your voice. God knows our every thought. Satan does not know our every thought. Satan doesn't read our minds. God knows what's in our hearts, our minds. But this is something I was thinking about last week as well. But he wants to hear our voice. When we pray and we talk to God, maybe you're on a walk and you're talking with God, he wants to hear our voice, not just our quiet prayers in our head. Maybe I'm the only one that's, I don't think I am. He wants to hear our voice and not just process inside our own minds. To hear our voice is important, to speak it out loud, our voices to him. And also God is asking us to be really honest, to get rid of our excuses, the restrictions, our British reserve, perhaps. He wants us to be real. And if you're feeling embarrassed or ashamed of something, of course, it's not a surprise to God. He already knows that. But he wants to be, he wants to hear your voice, confess those things and acknowledge them and to be honest with him. Perhaps there's shame or there's guilt in our lives, the things we've done we're embarrassed about. They can be a blockage to going further with God, and he wants to deal with that, with our shame. We've sung about fear. Fear is a huge thing. Fear of what other people think, we're self-conscious. God wants to speak into the fear in our lives as well. And then there's anger and unforgiveness. If we can't hear the voice of God, often it's because we have unforgiveness in our hearts towards someone else. So today is an invitation to be real. And this is how the psalm begins in those first few verses. I'll go back to the psalm. know who God is and know who we are. God says to us, well, it starts with praise the God of my rock who trains my hands for war. He's my loving God, my fortress, stronghold, deliverer, shield, refuge. This is who our God is. We need to know who our God is so that we can trust in him and come to him honestly before him. And he also knows our frailty and our weaknesses, the reality of our world. in verse 3-4. What's man that you care for him? What's the Son of God that you think about him? Man's like a breath, is like a fleeting shadow. So we acknowledge our frailty because it's not a surprise to God. God goes on to say, I want to comfort you who are hurting, and I want to touch those who need healing. So into this fragile world, he wants us to appeal to God. In verse 5-8, that is a pleading to God to do something. There's sickness around us, there's anxiety, there's insecurity, there's fears, there's manipulation, there are occultic practices, there's depression, there's addictions. We know the world we live in. It's full of brokenness. And King David is writing, part the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, send forth your fire, your lightning, shoot your arrows, reach out your hand, deliver me. He's pleading to God to move into this world and to see a difference. And perhaps that's another part of our jigsaw puzzle. There are people or places that are not in our jigsaw puzzle. They're not part of God's kingdom yet, because he's asking us to go to them and to be his hands and his feet to see that difference. I had a horrific statistic about 3 weeks ago. I was working with some people in Hounslow who serve with London City Mission. And I was told that 50% of people living in London do not have a Christian friend. I don't know what stats are in Chalfont St. Peter, but 50% of people in London do not have a Christian friend. Whose fault is that? There's only one place to look at for whose fault that is, and that is the church. It's our fault. We need to be reaching out. God is asking us to be different, to reach out to others, others who might be different from ourselves. Everybody is loved by God, not to judge other people. God says, I want to be real with you as you're real with me. So I would encourage us to be truth-telling. Sometimes we use the word confession. It's a very biblical word, to confess our sins to one another, and he will forgive us if we have confessed ourselves, our sins to each other. But another word for confession is truth-telling. Truth-telling. We need to tell the truth about ourselves, to ourselves, be real, and to God. And then God says he wants to be real to us. He wants to tell us some truths about ourselves. Don't hide any longer. Come out into the light. Don't be hidden. Come into my presence. Walk in my power and the authority I have given you. This morning, God is talking to us about our true identity, how he really sees us. We need to hear what our true identity is and walk in that. Why don't we walk in power? Why don't we see the healings? Why don't we see the authority and power that we have actually in action? And surely that's to do with our own unbelief or our lack of faith. Don't hold back. Step into your true identity and soar to new heights, a new perspective of my ways and my world. We're going to now take our bit of paper or your phone. I'm just going to take 2 minutes of silence, and we're going to ask one question to God. Don't overthink it. Don't rationalize. I rationalize a lot. In fact, Steve Hendray, in his first talk of this series, talked about the left and right hand brains. Very appropriate. Listen to that talk if you haven't heard it, because I rationalize a lot. Don't rationalize. Don't think. Listen. Okay, we're going to ask God a question. The first thing that you hear in your mind, God speaks to us in our minds. He drops, it'll sound like your own voice, but it will be coming from the Lord. So be ready, and we're going to just write down the first thing that God says to you in these moments of silence. Lord Jesus, how do you really see me? What is my true identity? Lord Jesus, how do you really see me? What is my true identity? I'm going to continue. Now is the time to speak and find your voice. Cry out, shout out to a watching world of who I am. Our verse today is in verse 9 and 10. I will sing a new song to my God. On my 10-string lyre, I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David. Today is the day to find our new song, to sing our new song from our identity of who God has called us to be. He's asking us to find our voice, to be his ambassadors, his agents of change in this world, to the broken world that's watching. And he calls us in other parts of scripture to be like a priest. A priest in the Old Testament was like a go-between. It was a person who went into the holies of holies, the most holy place in the temple, to make sacrifices on behalf of the people before God. Our role today is like that. We're all called to be priests in the sense that we are taking the brokenness and the needs of the world and we're going before God with a sacrifice. We're going before God with a sacrifice of praise or with tears or with a lament. But we're sort of the go-between to make an appeal to God. And we're also called to be kings. We're called to be kings. We have been given authority and God wants us to use it. He wants us to bring his kingdom to rule and reign in our world. And that's what David is singing about, the victory that God has brought him. Fall in love with me again. Fill your hearts with thanksgiving and gladness. I am the real joy giver. So David was there on his 10-stringed lyre. And the power of worship cannot be underestimated. It's a gift. The power of worship is so wonderful. It's like a key to opening up a new dimension of expression to God. And that's why the Psalms are so wonderful to reflect on. Because King David has given us words. Sometimes we don't have the words to express what's in our hearts, but the Psalms and songs and our worship gives us those words to express what's really down deep in our hearts. And God wants to give us a new song. You can express yourself with new words that come from our hearts. So it's not just prayer quietly verbalizing our chatting with the Lord. It's also lifting our voices and using worship. This psalm is a psalm of victory and honesty. And David knew his identity. He was a warrior. He was a warrior. Well, first of all, he was a shepherd. There's four things for David. He was a shepherd. He was a poet. He was a warrior. And he was a king. That's the identity of King David. Maybe God's just been saying to you one or two things about your identity. But hearing God's voice starts with thanksgiving. So if we're learning to practice to hear God's voice, my first encouragement would be put on Spotify, put on your playlist, listen to worship songs at home, and take time to praise God at home with friends or at home on your own. It makes such a difference to use worship and gives us new songs. And God ends by saying, in quietness and rest is your strength, and you will find true and everlasting peace. Rest on my shoulder and lean into what I say and what I want you to hear. The end of our psalm finishes from 12 to 15. Blessed are the people of whom this is true. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. That is the top of our jigsaw puzzle. That is it. We're blessed. We come into alignment. We come into our true identity as brides. We're the bride of Christ as the church to our bridegroom. We are blessed. And there's a whole description here at the end of this psalm of what that looks like. It talks about children being well nurtured, beautiful, strong, provided for, living in the palace of the king. We are sons and daughters, we sung about that earlier, of our heavenly father, and we're being prepared to be his bride, Jesus' bride. There's strong economy in that passage. There's social order, there's abundance, there's provision, there's work. And there's a freedom from violence. There's no destruction. There's no more captivity. There's no more crying. There's a shalom peace. Resting and leaning on God, that's a quiet place. There's a place for the praise and worship, definitely. There's also a place for the quiet place of leaning in to listen to the heartbeat of our Father as we lean on his shoulder. There's one other piece that I wanted to share with you in just as we finish off. We're going to have a time of response in a moment. With all that God is saying to us, I believe that God is giving us a refreshing call to go back to our roots of being a house of prayer for all nations. This is a call on the church. It's a call to everybody in the world. Each of us is a house of prayer. In other parts of scripture, our bodies are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, so we're all temples, we're all houses of prayer. And our homes, our households, are houses of prayer. We are a house of prayer now, as we're gathered. So we're a house of prayer, a walking house of prayer, through every second of the day. So it's not necessarily a physical place. It's us. The church is us living. Let's read this verse. Those who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The word joy, this is a bit of a diversion, but the word joy, I've been praying with a group that we meet every month called Watch and Pray. You can join us if you want, normally on a Wednesday or a Tuesday. We pray in the prayer room, and there's been a word over 10 years. There's been a word given to us in that prayer group. It's an intercession group for the church. Joy. Joy. Now, how many times I've heard that word? God is calling us to be joyful. We don't want to walk around and be moanful. That's not going to be a good witness to the Lord. He wants the joy in our heart. Brings others and makes attractive being a follower, a fully devoted disciple of Jesus. It's the joy in our hearts. And there's joy in the house of prayer. It's not a boring thing. It's joyful because we're getting to know our Father and we're spending time with him. You may recall when we had the banner in the corridor, came around here last year for our 250-year celebrations. What really struck me was right at the very beginning, the call on this church. When this church was established, it was established in a little place on the Misbourne, and then the chapel was built on the hill. And it was established to be a house of prayer for all nations. That is our DNA. That was right at the very beginning. This church is founded really coming out of the Wesleyan revival as a nonconformist church. And that is our heritage. We are called to be a house of prayer for all nations. It's come out of a revival, the Wesleyan revival. That is our roots as a church. And God wants us to go back to those roots. He wants us to carry that forward. That is our new song, but it's kind of a very old song. So what's God saying to us? He's asking us to know our position, our authority. We are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. I just said we are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. That is an incredible thought. That's our true position. We are seated with Jesus in our heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. So what's God saying? We're to be awakened. We're to use our authority. We're to know our true identity, what God sees of us and what he asks us to do. And we're told to be truth tellers, to be honest, to be humble, to confess to God what's really going on inside. There's been a lot of talk this year, wonderfully, about a quiet revival. I'm praying it won't be so quiet. I'm praying for a noisy, simple kind of revival, one that we're all going to see, that will be on the BBC, that we'll all hear about it. Revival is a sovereign work of God's Holy Spirit. It's an unusual awakening of spiritual life amongst God's people. It starts with the church. This is accompanied by an awesome awareness of God, a deep conviction of sin, a longing for holiness of life, a renewed joy and love for the Father and the Son, and a passion to reach the lost. I know it's missing S. It generally takes to a significant number of people, the lost, coming to know true faith in Jesus. Revival always starts in repentance and truth-telling, confession. Revival always involves humility and holiness to be different from the world. Revival always involves love and compassion to those who are far from God.
And revival involves us with a longing, a desire, and a recognition of what's lacking without God's presence. What's missing from that jigsaw? What's lacking? What do we not have because Jesus is not here in his fullness? What's missing? What's that longing? Who is missing? So over the coming months, we're going to explore more about what it means to be a house of prayer for all nations, personally, in our households, and as a church as well. There's just one, there's many things which we can take away, but there's one thing that I would encourage you to do, if you're not already doing it, is to be in it with a prayer partner, a prayer triplet. Three people would be ideal, but a prayer person, at least one or two, that you meet with weekly. I would encourage it, because being a disciple, fully devoted a disciple of Jesus, is not to be done in isolation. We are not alone. We're called to be part of the body. So even now, you could be asking God, who is a friend you already have? It could be somebody you don't know very well, but you think, okay, let's go for it. Meet with two other people and be accountable to them each week. So just 30 minutes, it's, 10 minutes each, that's enough. Just pray with one another. It could be online. And just be accountable with each other. Maybe you do it through your life groups. But I would encourage us to be those houses of prayer, gathering weekly and being accountable to others. And lastly, this is the last thing, God has called us a house of prayer for all nations. Gold Hill is called to go to all peoples and places and to welcome all peoples and places. We're a place of all nations here, of all nations, welcoming all nations here, people from every tribe, tongue, and language here. And we're to go. God says in Habakkuk 2:14, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. He wants his knowledge. He wants his presence. He wants to be known across all the earth. And that's all our responsibility, not just the mission partners. It's everybody is to go and make God known from the doorstep to the ends of the world. So I'm going to pray as we close. Maybe Judy could come back to lead us in song and intercession. We're going to take a moment to reflect, but also to pray for our nations and our world. And we've invited a few people to lead us in that in a second. But let's just pause. Father, I thank you that you are our Father. Thank you that we can come to you as your children. We can sit on your knee. We can lean on your shoulder. We can listen to your heartbeat, your tenderness. We can feel your embrace. For those of us who are mourning, who are grieving, you are our counselor and our comfort and our strength. For those of us that are sick, we're weary, we're tired, we're carrying things, we're exhausted. You are the one that lifts up. Our joy can be our strength. You are the restorer. You are our fortress. You are our shelter. You are our strong tower. You are our deliverer. You deliver us from everything, Father. And thank you, Jesus, that you have called us as your bride to get ready, to wake up and to take the authority and the power that you've already given us as we're seated with you in heavenly places to live that out in this broken world. Lord, I pray that you'd wake us up. Holy Spirit, that you'd shake us. That you would thrust us forth as those laborers into the harvest field. That you'd wake us up, Lord, and that you would enable us to really be that house of prayer for all nations in our own lives, in our families, our households, and as your body gathering here. And most of all, Lord, I thank you for the identity that you've given each of us. We're all individual, all known to you, and you've just spoken to us about who we really are. Lord, help us to live out from what you say to be true about us and not the lies and the deception that we tell ourselves is not true. but to be really listening to you and living in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.